Hello, listeners. It's Jose, a.k.a. The Region Nerd, and we're recording in the lovely studios of Lakeshore Public Media to bring you the latest discussion on everything pop culture, from Comic-Cons to drag shows, horror movies to hip-hop, and everything in between. Take a break from politics and hang out with us right here on Region Nerd Alert. So now that Robert Eggers' new film, The Lighthouse, has been out for a couple of weeks now, we here at Region Nerd Alert try to analyze it like we do. It's essentially a movie starring Willem Dafoe and Robert Pattinson, who play lighthouse keepers in the late 19th century, dealing with the woes of sea, isolation, and birds. So thanks for joining on this Region Nerd Alert. And welcome, everyone.
Hey.
Hello.
How's it going out there in the studio of Lakeshore?
It's pretty good. It's pretty
I don't like the seating arrangement.
Ooh. Oh, I think it's pretty good where it's at right now.
What is this?
Oh, you had a choice before you came in here.
Oh.
There was no choice.
You heard him right. That was Paul Pergerzulski, my favorite person in the whole
Phantom
world.
Man.
The Phantom Man.
The Phantom Menace.
But anyways, welcome everyone. Hello, listeners. You are listening to Region Nerd Alert on 89.1 FM, Lakeshore Public Radio, and streaming on lakeshorepublicradio.org or Spotify or iTunes, or I think we're on Stitcher. Maybe not yet.
I know what we are on, and that's the NPR One app.
Ah, I'm glad you said that from over there. NPR One app.
Dark, cold corner.
So, yeah, you can download the NPR One app, make Lakeshore Public Radio your main radio source, and you will get updates of my show. So, thank you for coming in. Thank you for listening. And as you heard from the intro, if you haven't heard of this movie yet, then where have you been? Under a rock?
Not near one of the select theaters.
all 50 of them.
This was in very, very select theaters.
It's still not out in Europe.
Really?
Yeah.
Like at all?
Yeah. At least to my knowledge, it might have come out, but as far as I'm aware, it still hasn't come out.
As far as today, like it's not. Yeah, it might be now, but oh yeah, you heard it right. New film, The Lighthouse, starring Willem Dafoe and Robert Pattinson, who are, I think they're two out of three actual actors in the whole entire film.
Three.
Oh, besides the mermaid.
Besides the mermaid does get a credit in there. But yeah, it's just Willem Dafoe, Robert Pattinson just acting their butts off with each other.
For what, 2 hours?
Yeah, it's
roughly two hours.
2 hour film. And yeah, it's just them in a lighthouse. Actually, it's like an island. They have to travel by boat. Mm-hmm. And they get there, and it's a lighthouse and a little house. Is the lighthouse like the actual pillar of light, or is it like the sign?
Yeah, the lighthouse is the actual tower.
Okay, okay.
And then they just have like the, what's it called? The living quarters. Yeah. Thank you, Paul.
So basically it's a story about these two men who are the keepers, the lighthouse keepers.
Willem Dafoe's like the veteran keeper.
right. Yeah, he's the veteran keeper, and Robert Pattinson is the newer keeper.
The new guy.
And while they're there, they keep the house. I think they're supposed to be there for 4 weeks.
4 weeks, yep.
Yeah, four weeks.
Yeah.
The 4 week shifts, and then after the 4 weeks, then someone comes for them.
Oh, okay.
But I believe Willem Dafoe actually just lives on that remote island, because it implies that he really never leaves.
Does it?
I think he is there for like more extended periods, because like they make mention to like, oh, he was a sailor and kind of left his family behind
because he tells all kinds of lies.
That is true. And before we continue on, everyone listening, you might hear some spoilers, but mostly we're going to talk about basically what the movie's about. We're going to deep delve right in, and you can make your own assumptions on the movie once you actually see it yourself. But spoiler warning, because I'm not going to try to filter myself.
Yeah, no, I'm not either. This is going to be a wild one.
It's going to be too hard to filter and to really delve into the...
To talk about the film at all, you have to spoil.
Right. But honestly, it's like an experience. Like, even though you know exactly what's going to happen in the Blue Man Group, like, you're still going to go see him. Still gonna have the toilet paper go.
We
past
know Gallagher's
you
whacking something.
What's it gonna whack? But yeah, first off, I want to talk about, I guess, the movie in general. Director Robert Eggers. Mm-hmm. It was written by him and his brother,
I don't have his brother's name on me. That will come up again. But it was him and his brother who wrote this movie. And it originally was going to be a ghost story at a lighthouse. And it didn't really turn into that. Or at least by his standards, it did not turn into a ghost story at a lighthouse.
Yeah.
He also directed The Witch, which is, I believe it's on Netflix now, right?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
And can anyone tell me what The Witch is about?
Yeah, so The Witch takes place in New England. And I don't know, it's hard to explain.
There's a family basically gets shunned from their community because they have different religious beliefs than what the church is teaching.
That's what it
And
was.
What is it? Is it the 1800s? Or?
It's like 1850s, I think, mm-hmm. right around that area. And they get excommunicated from their town. And so they have to go start their own homestead out in the wilderness of New England.
It's almost like Oregon Trail type. Like they get in a wagon, them and their family, and then they just travel because they're shunned from the village.
Well, it would be, but instead of traveling west, they'd be traveling east. So it wouldn't really be.
Right. Actually, it's 1630s New England.
Oh, geez.
1630s.
Yeah. 200 years off. Lord.
Yeah, it's an oldie.
And panic and despair envelops a farmer, his wife, and their children when youngest son Samuel suddenly vanishes. That's the baby, isn't it?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's okay.
That's within the first like 3 minutes of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think the main protagonist is Thomason.
Thomason. Yeah.
Thomason, and she's the oldest daughter who was watching the boy at the time. So that's why everyone basically suspects her. But as the movie is aptly called, The Witch. There's some witch play. Witch eye. But
witchesies.
But real quick, what do you guys think about The Witch? Like in regards to horror and thriller
I loved
genre.
It. I'm also a sucker for like timepieces though. So I definitely loved how everything like puts you in the mood, gets you in the setting, and it's kind of a slow burn.
Mm-hmm.
You very much know what the movie's going to be about. You very much know what's going to happen. You just have to watch it happen. And that's the funnest part, is watching it be framed.
I love the way he draws upon a specific time and a specific place. Like, it's one thing to, like, draw upon, like, oh, America in the 1900s, but where in America? Because there's huge different things happening, and people want to just throw flapper girls in the Oregon or whatever, but he won't have anything that's not in like, what was the year, like
1650s,
like colonial whatever time. He won't have, oh, that coffee mug, that would not exist in there. Like, he is to a T with that.
Right. The Tupperware is not proper.
They had two things back in the day, dirt and chickens.
Dirt and chickens. And goats, according to
I hope there wasn't a bowl in that film.
They were a new invention.
goats were new
around that time.
Newfangled invention.
Actually, the thing about the bowl, there were bowls and other... I don't know where you got that. That's off topic. Moving on.
Straight meme. Straight meme. Not accurate.
But that's sort of how The Lighthouse is, too. Like, it's taken, that's, what is it, 1900s? Late 1800s,
that's
I think?
That's late 1800s.
Late 1890,
I think.
New England as well?
It's always, so I was reading up on some background of the story earlier, and Eggers is from New England, and he's sort of doing this horror trilogy set in New England. So it begins with The Witch. It obviously has moved on to The Lighthouse. So I'm assuming that the third New England horror movie will probably take place during another century. But I love Eggers' timepieces because the language is so accurate, and I'm somebody that like is very into language and linguistics, and I get super ticked off when, because this happens all the time in Hollywood, mm-hmm. they shoot something in like the 1920s and then people are talking like they might as well be saying hashtag. Like, it's so inaccurate.
Machete. You remember The Rock?
Oh,
man.
He was in freaking Egyptian times. Yeah. Akuta Masente.
So English.
So English. Ah.
Okay, real quick. If there's going to be a trilogy and we've had The Witch and The Lighthouse, what is the third film going to be called? Because it's clearly going to be the insert noun.
Oh, interesting. Mm. Yeah.
So the Lighthouse took place at a lighthouse. And
The witch had to deal with a witch.
The witch had to deal with a witch.
What is the third one going to be about?
The bowl.
The bowl. But actually, that by the end of the film,
the short
or by the end of this podcast, let us think of that, because by the end, we should be able to like piece his mind together. But Paul, you had something?
So if the other ones take place 200 years apart, roughly, is this one going to be set in like
future
modern time?
England?
Well, our like modern time.
Mm. I will say that's one thing that Robert Eggers says, like he hates making modern mm-hmm. movies because he thinks... Actually, I have a cool little paraphrased quote from him. He's like, nowadays, God is in the numbers. Like, mm-hmm. you're not going to be afraid of witches or wizards mm-hmm. or Cthulian beast or something raining from the sky or you're something unknown. There's, like, not a lot of things that are unknown still. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's, like, an infinity number of unknown things. Mm-hmm. But we're like, when it comes to... like witches and folklore, like basically he says God is in the numbers, where we're not going to believe in things, like it's not going to scare us like that. So he likes to create these timepieces in a place where the people do believe that. Like, for instance, in The Lighthouse, I think Willem Dafoe said something about, like, are you God-fearing or something like that? Or mm-hmm. he was like, what's your God-given name? Or do you believe in... And Robert Pattinson's
yeah,
like,
he just say, I'm a God-fearing man, if that's
yeah.
what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, he said, are you a praying man?
Yeah, and he's like, well, nah, not too much these days, but if you mean that I'm God-fearing, then yes, I am.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just love how he just takes you to that time, takes you to that very specific place, and I don't know, it's almost... Another thing he says is he loves creating nostalgia mm-hmm. of places that no one's going to be nostalgic about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because like we were talking about in the other room, and we'll definitely touch upon it later, he's a big fan of Carl Jung. And Carl mm-hmm. Jung, one of his big things is the collective unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
So what he likes to do is create like nostalgia of a place and time where we would have no ties to. Like, I don't think anyone... has stories of 1650 lying around, like
from their family,
from their families, right? But he wants to create like a sense of, oh, I can relate to that, which you shouldn't be able to.
I guess that is kind of Jungian. Well, Jung was like, he believed that no matter what time period or place, that there was a set pattern in stories,
right? Like the archetypes.
There were archetypes in stories, exactly. So I think that's what. Eggers is playing upon is that even though we live in the modern world, that we can still pick apart these archetypes.
Mm-hmm. And they're in every time. As we were seeing, like,
right.
That's how you can draw similarities between The Witch, which happened in 1650, and The Lighthouse, which happened in late 1800s. But,
no, there is also... between the 1600s and the 1800s, though, like, the... religious aspect didn't change that much. And he does play upon a lot of, like, supernatural and religious horror. But he doesn't do it in a corny way, and you guys know I hate religious horror. Like, I hate Antichrist movies. Because it's just, especially modern Antichrist movies, they're so corny and so
overdone.
Your
favorite movie's an Antichrist movie.
What, Rosemary's Baby?
Uh-huh.
It's... But that's...
That's
but
like a literal Antichrist.
It is literal Antichrist. And what's scary about it to me is
it's also like the forerunner of Antichrist movies.
Exactly. But also my thing about Rosemary's Baby is, and I've explained this on the podcast before, the reason I love it and it freaks me out so much is because you can't run from something growing inside of you.
Yeah, that's...
And that's what's so... Like, especially like as a woman with the ability to get pregnant, like the thought that my child would literally be like... haunting me.
Very scary.
Yeah, that's what gets me about
not to
it.
Call children in general this, but like in Rosemary's Baby, it's literally like a parasite.
Yeah, it's parasitic.
But at the same time, like she's conflicted with like these motherly emotions.
Right,
like,
exactly. Hormonal emotions. Yeah, that's what's scary about it to me.
Yeah, very weird. Very weird.
Mm-hmm.
But so let's talk about first the Lighthouse timeline, what literally happens in it. Because even what literally happens is crazy, but
yeah. there's no set time in that movie. Like every cut seems like it's like
mm-hmm. we know it's day, we know it's night. That's basically
yeah.
the extent
I think,
of the time.
I think you
get
you get one like like actual showing of time, and it's a clock showing when they're drunk and it's 2 a.m. That's it. Mm-hmm. Other than that, like you can never tell what how long like between shots have been.
Yeah, because I think what does it show you? Like the course is maybe 5 or 6 days. That's like day night. Like not like literal like all weeks, months, because you never know that. But like we see day night. Like what?
Oh, how many transitions?
Right.
Like, yeah. About like a week's worth, I would say.
Yeah, but within that week, you don't know if is it an actual week? Has it been right. 4 weeks? Like really a few know. Months
until they drop you with the boat never came.
The boat never came.
Yeah.
But
even then, like after that point, like you see the fact that it's been like, you know, quote unquote 4 weeks. And after that point, you don't know how long it's been.
I feel like we should pause to explain the boat never came thing, though. So, like,
yeah. So I guess the literal timeline is it opens up them on a boat, and they're going towards this island. And when they get to the island, they unpack their things. Because, oh, that's another thing. You don't hear dialogue for, like, the first, 10 minutes?
They have that weird still with them two just standing outside the lighthouse together.
It kind of gives you, like, American Gothic vibe.
Right. Yeah. Because it's not, like, a frozen frame. Like, it's a recording of them standing in the wind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love how this movie is shot, by the way. It is beautifully shot. Beautiful. Everything about it is masterful.
It reminds me of a field in England.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's
so gorgeous. Talking about that.
It's super experimental. It's also black and white.
Mm-hmm.
Very minimal amount of people, like 5 or 6 people. Very trippy, weird movie.
Yeah, it's like a psychedelic, I guess it's sort of horror genre, but maybe more like...
It also has like demonic aspects because this guy's like hunting down this treasure that's hidden...
Oh,
in plain sight.
And a little side note, too. This was, I forgot what it's called, A23 Productions or something?
Yeah. A24.
And they have...
I thought it was A24.
Something like that, yeah. But, it's... Because they have Eggers and then the... what's his name? It starts with an A.
Ari Aster?
Ari Aster, yeah, that's what it is. Like, those are, like, powerhouse
directors, they are...
Dude. There's a third one, too, that I want to see. I think it's a woman... I don't know her name, but
A24
she
is slowly
she has some really
like
good movies.
Studio.
She has some like cult classics as well. Like they got some powerhouses at that production place.
So back to the timeline.
Yeah, so back to the timeline. So they're literally going the boat. They reach the island, and when they go up to the island, there's two people coming down from the island, and they have like their luggage. It's basically them
tagging out.
Yeah, like their shift's done. Now it's Willem Dafoe's and Robert Pattinson's. And at this point, we don't have names yet, by the way. So they're just these two characters. Mm-hmm. They go in.
Shooting sentences at each other blindly. Yeah.
Basically. And then you guys can feel free to fill in the gaps, too, because
the general timeline of what's supposed to happen is they get there, and in 4 weeks, another boat comes out to swap out them for another crew.
Right.
But then... You know, like I said earlier, you don't know how long things go. Like, in 10 minutes, it's 4 weeks.
But it's also, like, and then, really interesting when the whole we missed the boat thing happens in the story. Because
it's as soon as the alcohol is ingested by Robert Pattinson.
Well, I think he's ingested a little bit beforehand, but, like, he really has a go at it that night. And they're really, like, gung-ho and getting super drunk. And he spills the beans.
No, that the beans were spilled
That happens after.
I'm talking about the first time.
I thought
time.
He missed the boat when he spilled the beans.
No, because
the store rolled.
They showed you all of his chores, and he did his chores throughout the weeks. And the next day, they were supposed to get off the island. And he's like, come on, it's the last day. Just indulge me, toast me, and have a drink with me. And when he had the drink, that's when he blacked out for the first time with his pants down.
Which makes me wonder... Then, if indeed Willem Dafoe is an actual character, because there's some debate as to whether or not this is psychological and they're the same person, did Willem Dafoe purposely do that to keep him on the island? Because there were lots of moments where it seemed like he was trying to sabotage him so that he would never leave.
Yeah.
Lots of moments.
Like literal moments of Willem Dafoe saying something and then right after that saying the opposite. And it wasn't like Robert Pattinson was going crazy. Like, we heard it too. Mm-hmm. We just heard him say his name was this. And he's like, my name's not Thomas. It's Rodolfo. Or
no, well, no. Willem Dafoe never changes his name.
He does once. When he says, when he calls him Tom, like in one of the scenes where it was really in disarray at this point, but he says, no, my name's not Baugh. It's, and then he calls Robert Pattinson, the guy who, well, spoiler alert, the guy, the other guy who, you only see the back of his head on the boat.
I think it's real quick. I think it's safe to say that at this point, like, there's going to be spoilers. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah, be, I know that. I just can't remember the guy's name.
Oh, no, I'm just saying, like, for people listening, like, there's going to be a ton of spoilers.
Was it the other greenhorn? The person that went insane at the lighthouse, he called him his name.
Oh, could
The remember the well the guy Robert Pattinson killed.
Ephraim.
Yeah.
Ephraim.
Ephraim, was it Ephraim? Yeah, like he called him that, and he's like, "That's not that's your name." Blah blah blah, and then like they went back and forth because he's like, "Wait, was his name Ephraim? Like, was his name Thomas? Was his name?"
There's also a fun little tidbit. I'll bring it up later about. About foreshadowing in the movie. I'll bring it up later. Mm-hmm. Like, it has to do with something that Robert Pattinson does.
Okay. And speaking of spoilers, let's continue on the timeline a little bit. So they miss the boat. Things are going insane. It turns very surrealistic. Like,
the storms rolled in.
You hear, and the thing is too, you hear constant background noise.
Because
there's a scene in there where. It's just quiet.
Completely quiet.
And then that's when you realize, wow, there was background noise the entire time. I didn't realize.
And the purpose of that was to create, like, the... So there's always a calm before there's a huge storm. And on the East Coast, you get hurricanes.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was a really, really interesting effect to create, like, the eye of the storm.
Mm.
And during that eye, there was a contrast. Yeah, like, instead of things being... you would think during the eye of the storm things would be calm,
mm-hmm.
but instead there was this huge contrast where the tension was building.
Oh, that was such a beautiful moment.
It mm-hmm. really was. Yeah, I love the...
Well, I mean, the tension does build in the eye of the storm, like, because it's got to pass you eventually. Like, storm's not just going to dissipate because you're in the middle.
But you know what I mean. Like, there's some sort of... You almost feel relief.
It's literally clear skies in the eye of the storm. Like, mm-hmm.
Right, but you're surrounded by, disarray.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you could say that. Like,
which is... that's a good metaphor for
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, he was basically surrounded in chaos.
When he spilt the beans, that's when there's no turning back. There's no going forward. Like, you're in it. We're in the maelstrom.
We keep talking about the spilling of the beans, but I feel like we're not really... How do we explain that without spoiling the whole?
No,
it's
going
to
be
spoiled. No, that's true. We keep saying there's going to be spoilers.
So there's literally a part where we already said Robert Pattinson or what's his name? Tommy? Tom?
Tom.
Tom.
Thomas.
Thomas.
And there's literally a part where, well, we said he killed someone, but it was sort of hidden from the other character in the movie and us. Well, it was hidden from us. Willem Dafoe. And he's like, I got to tell you something. He's like, no, don't tell me something. Like, I got to tell you something. Like, don't spill your beans.
I trust you. I trust you. Do you? I don't trust you at all.
Yeah, I don't trust you at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got it off his chest that I killed someone.
But they do have that early vision in the movie where Robert's sleeping and then he goes outside of the house for some reason and he's walking towards the water and then there's all those logs. Coming in the ocean,
mm-hmm.
and then there's a body amongst the logs.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
That happens early.
Yeah, it does happen early.
Oh my God, it's hella foreshadowing. Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, I did not realize that. But, like, it's not like the whole movie, I think, is very surrealistic, but you sort of write it off as, oh, it's probably a dream. But I feel like. Yeah, probably like after the spill your beans part, I think that's when it also really went downhill because you don't know what's up, what's down.
They start drinking kerosene.
They start. That,
oh, yeah, that was
that
crazy.
Was when things also like hyped up. Like they literally drank kerosene.
They were out of liquor at that point.
Out of liquor.
There was one point where Willem Dafoe was talking to Robert and saying, like, oh, are you really here? Or are you just wandering around in Canada knee deep in snow?
Right. Yeah, that. Cause he
Which is highly possible.
Like at that point, too, I feel like a lot of people were. That was some of the things that they were thinking. Like, okay, is he still in Canada?
And I got like two theories.
And then, or is he like on an island by himself? Or is this is an older version? And then like Willem Dafoe sort of went through like what the audience could be feeling. Like, you don't even know the concept of time. Like, you don't know if we're here for
You don't
weeks.
Know how long we've been
that's,
here yet.
That's what I liked about the, when they were like the boat never came part. You don't know how long it's been since the boat didn't come. Like there's like...
Because you think it's the day after, and then Willem Dafoe says, we missed the boat days ago.
Yeah, that was another
part. Like, they've been sleeping for 3 days on end. Like,
and then he's like, you're acting crazy now. You did that days ago. And that's when you sort of suspect Willem Dafoe, too. Or at least me, personally. Like, okay, this guy's up to something, because he's telling very different things. And it's messing with Robert Pattinson.
Right, because it could have very well been just the next day.
Because when you think about it, too, like, when you're in a group of people and someone says something on the contrary of what they previously said or what they've said is completely wrong, the only person that's going to say is wrong is one other person. Mm-hmm. So if he does say something crazy, there's no one else to, like, validate his, like, sanity, basically. Like, did he really say that, or am I crazy?
So I actually have a theory that this is hell. And the whole time I was watching it, I kept thinking that it was some sort of afterlife. Because, I mean, obviously Robert Pattinson has killed someone. Now, they kind of leave it up to interpretation as to whether this was an accident or not. Because when he's telling the story about how Ephraim, whose name he eventually takes, died, he's kind of like... I was upset with him, and I wanted to do him in, but I didn't mean to push him, and we were logging, and this... So there is part that...
I thought the story was more of, like, he watched Ephraim fall in and did absolutely nothing to
about
help.
It.
It wasn't so much that he, like, actually murdered the person, but he did nothing to save his life.
And he implied that he had been upset with him, too, because he says, like, Lord knows I wanted to do him in, but I didn't want to actually... kill him. So
and even if he was telling the truth, like, is that still murder? Like, that's another
might as well be murder, because it's the guilt is obviously killing him inside.
Right. So I was wondering, like, did he die up in Canada, or did he lose his mind when he saw Ephraim die and start wandering around, and this is now death. This is now the afterlife.
So,
and Willem Dafoe is sort of like a demonic figure tormenting him.
There's a part about the light that I want to bring up.
So, I was going to say that was the next thing I was going to bring in was the light, because we haven't talked about the light at all, and it's like one of the biggest points. But yeah, you can start us off.
Okay, so for the lighthouse itself, the light is a huge part in this movie, where William Dafoe's character is super protective over it.
Like, lock and key protective.
Yeah, like, he sleeps with the key in a death grip, and it's his light. He doesn't want anybody near the light. Well, Robert Pattinson...
That's all he does the whole movie, is tend to the light.
Exactly.
And Robert cleans all of the crap around the island.
Real quick, the painting scene. The painting scene.
When he's painting the lighthouse?
Yeah, and he falls. That's actually a foreshadow to the final shot of the movie. Because he's laying.
Oh, when he's laying there.
Yeah,
like
when he's laying there in the bird. Yeah, that's all a foreshadow for the end of the movie.
I was gonna say the day before. There's a lot of the day before they're supposed to leave is when a lot of stuff hits the fan, and there's a lot of cause.
Oh, because he kills the gull.
Kills the gull.
Right.
He falls.
That's
and...
why the weather changes. Is because he kills the gull.
Yeah,
I thought it was because he spilt the beans.
No. It's...
Yeah, because
I forgot the gull.
So the story about the seagull is that a seagull is supposed to be the spirit of dead sailors. So you're not supposed to kill a seabird, because if you do, you have bad luck. So, I mean, you could just... Instead of, like, completely dissecting the movie, which is hard not to do, you could just take it very literally, and that he cursed himself.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
But Robert didn't kill the seagull, did he?
Yeah, he did.
When?
Oh, he did.
Remember when he saw that
seagull in the well thing, or whatever that was?
Yeah, one of the seagulls was trapped in the well, but it was still alive because it was moving still. And then the other seagull came on top and then started gawking
at him.
Yeah, and then he got he just lost it, and then that's when he murt. Like
it was brutal.
A brutal killing of the seagull.
A long,
which almost leads you to believe. Did he do that to the guy in Canada? Like,
no,
was he lying?
I don't think that. I do think that if the gull is a spirit of, not necessarily a dead sailor, the sailor thing could just be like metaphorical because whatever, they're on this island. But if it is the spirit of somebody who has gone on, I think that he saw Ephraim, the man he killed, maybe his face in that seagull.
And, I think it was Ephraim.
I think it was, too. And part of what makes me think that is that they selected the actor for Ephraim, who we do see for a hot second. They selected
him. He has that beak face?
Well, it's not so much. I'm dead. No, it's actually his coloring. He is extremely pale with extremely pale hair. Mm-hmm. And extremely... Of course, it's shot in black and white.
Oh,
but
you could tell.
But
yeah.
You can tell that he's I don't want to say abnormally because that's a terrible word to describe someone's color. But he's
seagull-like.
In a sense, seriously, because the way that the bird is shot, obviously seagulls are very, very white and very, very pale, and the actor almost resembles this seagull, like quite literally. I know we're joking about it, but quite literally, he resembles the seagull.
Like honestly, I think it makes more sense that the seagull was pestering him.
Cause it torments.
It torments like
the
that,
whole movie.
And out of all the seagulls, it's just the one.
Because you can tell because I think both of his eyes, it looks like he's blind. Almost.
He has one eye. Mm-hmm. It's a one-eyed seagull. One eye. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Back to the light, though. Yeah. So when Robert Pattinson finally gets to the light and looks into it, you never see what's in it. But you have just like the most crazy
shot.
That's
so Lovecraft to not show us.
You just see like his just expression. He's just screaming and it's muffled out. And it's just a horrific shot. And it's so well done. But there is a theory that what he's seeing is his past crimes. And it's him coming to terms with it.
That's the truth. Yeah, the light in a sense. Yeah.
Yeah, like it's just it's showing him what he's did. And he's just it's showing him right in his face.
Yeah, one of my two theories is that this is like all just his subconscious, like eating away a eroding.
Yeah.
And kind of like tearing him up inside. And then his whole spilling the beans thing is kind of the admittance to like what he's actually done. And then.
So maybe it's a place of judgment then, not necessarily hell, but like a purgatory.
Right. And that's my other thing is if it's not like his own mind. And, like, him coming to terms with himself, then it's the afterlife and him being judged.
Well, if you believe in the heaven and hell is a state of mind thing anyway, then...
And then what if he didn't kill the seagull? Like, what if he went to the next day without drinking or killing the seagull or...
Right, it was testing almost. It was like
maybe he almost made it to, like, that point where he was saved or...
There was so many points when he breaks down, too, because when he first gets there, he doesn't want to drink.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom keeps telling him, drink, drink. You know, like, don't be wimpy. Don't let me sit here. Like, drink. And he eventually starts drinking. He eventually indulges in drink every night with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he starts off not really violent.
I'm only
beats the crap out the seagull.
I'm almost getting, like, a Job feel from it, too.
Oh, sure.
Because,
yeah.
Like, I forgot what they call, like, the devil in that... I forgot what they call it, but literally the devil is doing all this. Well, it's God, I think, doing all this bad stuff to Job, so he'll remain loyal to.
Sort of. It's so God.
Testing Job's faith. Yeah.
God and Satan have a conversation with each other, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan almost bets God.
Oh,
that he can,
it's a definite gamble.
Yeah,
he almost bets him that he can make Job lose his faith, but God knows that Job won't, which is supposed to be an allegory for like the Lord allowing bad things to happen to good people. Because
in the end, like it worked out, right?
Oh God, yeah. Haha, God, yeah. Sorry,
Ooh.
Me and my terrible joke. Boo.
I'm full.
But that's very Eggers. Like Eggers loves to work with. Like the biblical, and if you're gonna go back to the Jung thing, Carl Jung believing that he really believed that the Bible was mythos, and that we see the same myths in like every religion. So you can definitely relate this to the Bible, but you can also relate it to other, like, well, what used to be religion, but is now just, like, myths. Mm-hmm. So for me, like, I definitely, and Mike and I talked about this a little bit, I definitely got the Prometheus vibe from it. Mm-hmm. So the story of that is that Prometheus, there's a couple different versions, but I'll go with the most common one. Prometheus supposedly stole fire from Athena's workshop, and he brought it to down to Earth. And so to punish him, Zeus had seagulls, or was it eagles?
Those eagles.
Eagles, yeah. eat his liver every day.
And then he got regenerated.
Which is also hugely, validated in him literally drinking himself to death, because his liver is right. What's being eaten, and
exactly.
The alcohol.
The final
and
shot.
The final shot of the movie is him having his liver eaten by seagulls. Mm-hmm. So it's literally an exact parallel. Mm-hmm. There's that, and then I also get, like, Tantalus vibes from... So Tantalus was punished by... He was sent to essentially, like, a hell-like place.
Wasn't he put in, like, a pond, and he's, like, right... Like, he couldn't bend
down. That's the Bible.
I was going to say, he couldn't bend down to drink, and he couldn't grab the drink.
Yeah, that's the Bible. So in Greek mythology, he's punished by putting a, there is a fruit branch that is just hanging, like, just out of his reach, mm-hmm. which is where we get the word tantalizing from. Same thing with Robert Pattinson and the lighthouse. He was so close to being able to touch it. Like, he could see it every day. Mm-hmm. He wanted to be the keeper of the lighthouse, but Willem Dafoe was keeping it out of his reach.
Right.
So Eggers plays upon really, like, three different cultural myths. Or two, I'm sorry. A bunch of different cultural myths, really. So that's super cool.
Yeah, the light was definitely something else. Because I think... to draw from, like, the Cthulian stuff, too, or the Lovecraftian, the first time that he had an interaction with the light and Willem Dafoe, I believe he went all the way up, and he saw Willem doing something up there, and he saw the tentacle.
Right. There was one time when Willem was actually up in the lighthouse, and then he saw the tentacle. And then there was another one, I think, when he went up to the top, and then... Willem, like, met him at the top of the staircase, I think, or something like that. And, like, stopped him and was like, don't you think about going up there? I can't remember exactly what he said.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I cannot remember for the life of me the name of this character in Greek mythology, but there is a character who is a shapeshifter. It's one of Poseidon's sons.
Nightcrawler?
Yeah, Nightcrawler. it's Nightcrawler. I forgot about that.
You mean Justin Long.
Yeah, Justin. We're not talking about Justin Long.
Let's never talk about Justin.
Yeah.
Wait, he's Nightcrawler, right? Or was that?
No. He's not.
Oh, I'm a bad Joker.
The Joker. That's another one we could do. Anyway, go
ahead. Okay, moving on.
Anyways,
hate that movie.
But God, I lost track. Oh yeah, here we go. There's a half octopus,
Gyllenhaal, that's
half person shapeshifter god that's from Greek mythology. It's Poseidon's son, and
I mean Zeus could do it too.
Oh, Zeus hella did it.
Yeah, he came back as a goose and did
something. He did a lot of things.
Yeah, he came back as a goose and did something, all right.
Zeus did a lot. Hey-o. Anyways, but yeah, there's a theory that that's who Willem Dafoe's character is. Mm. Because of the tentacles that you see, and towards the end, like their fight, like there's a theory, especially with the light and the Prometheus thing, like, mm-hmm. yeah. So there's people saying that he's that character,
the shapeshifter guy.
Yeah.
Nightcrawler,
yeah. Jake Gyllenhaal.
But that curse that he puts on him is chilling.
I would say see the movie just for that one scene, if not anything else.
It is 2 minutes of just raw Willem Dafoe being Willem Dafoe, unblinking, literally.
Literally unblinking.
Yeah, that's crazy that he didn't blink for 2 whole minutes.
The burying scene, that was so good, too.
Oh, yeah, they just kept burying him, putting dirt in his face. And,
he's trying to have like a talk to him, yeah. A monologue almost, getting dirt chucked in his face.
Chewing on dirt. Oh, no, man.
That reminds me of The Witch. There's a part when the father figure in The Witch, he's begging God to spare his family, and he says, like, I'll eat your earth even, and he, like, puts the dirt in his mouth, and he's like, God, like, don't forsake my family.
There's definitely a dirt eating scene in there.
Dirty mouth, dirt mouth people.
That is really interesting. So,
so we know his new movie,
The Dirt.
Yeah,
The Dirt.
The Dirt.
The Dirt. Mouth.
The Dirt.
But another huge thing that we are that I think we should talk about is, well, the obvious thing is sex. Like, there's
with that mermaid.
Huge. The whole movie, like,
yep.
Even Willem Dafoe's quote is like, plain and simple, it was a homoerotic movie playing on the tension definitely. Of two men in a lighthouse.
Definitely caught that.
And every sense of the way. And he's right. Like, even.
Oh, right, because they hug each other, they punch each other, they, like, get real close, intimate.
To, mm-hmm.
And then.
Singing
like,
with, like, that's the most intimate, like, him singing and this them rocking
right,
each other.
Right, they're holding each
dancing.
Other, yeah. Dancing, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. But,
I think.
There's.
I mean,
also.
I feel like if you were. Regardless of whether the person was the same gender or not, if you were on a remote island with no other human for Lord knows how long, because it was supposed to be 4 weeks, but it could have been, you know, months on end. At some
if I'm,
point, like, you're going to
do what Robert
sort of,
did and go by the boxes.
Well, but at some
fun
point,
fact.
With my Little Mermaid
sort of
doll.
Fun fact.
Oh, that was hilarious.
Not the Little Mermaid.
Not Ariel.
Yeah.
But there's a, yeah.
Fun fact. That is the first scene they shot in this movie.
Yeah. And this
really?
Is the
yep.
in the
Robert
last
the
four
box?
Movies.
Yep.
Yeah. In the
just
last four movies he's done. No, seriously.
You cannot say crank one out on.
Oh my god.
Well,
in the last four movies he's been in, he has had a masturbation scene.
Robert Pattinson?
Robert Pattinson.
Oh yeah, in Twilight when Bella was sleeping.
I'm done.
What?
Or not Harry Potter when him and no
you got me twice. Like, I was literally waiting for you to say what scene. I was suckered in so deep.
Right
and
before I've, he grabs a Triwizard
Harry
cup.
Potter I've seen. I was like super dumbfounded at the Twilight thing. I was like, are you serious? And then the Harry Potter thing, who every movie I've seen, I was like, where? Deleted scene? Extra features? The Blu-ray?
Actually, Cedric Diggory, go by the Moaning Myrtle bathtub.
The
I'll meet
at
you
the
there.
Sound of the cannon.
At the sound of the cannon.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway.
Yeah, there was an interview with him about
long,
that.
This is one long censor, dude.
Robert Eggers, he said himself when he was designing the lighthouse, because that's another thing. They found the island, which was called Cape Foreshoe, and it's on the southern tip of Nova Scotia. It was the literal location.
Hmm.
And the only reason they picked that island is because it had a road that led to there, so they can get all their stuff there.
Nice.
And they built the house. They built the lighthouse, a working lighthouse. They built everything from scratch, which... A, it costs a lot of money, but I think that's awesome.
That's probably where all the budget went. Was
that,
yeah.
Well, exactly.
The lighthouse.
That and 35mm film, because my God, is that expensive.
Mm-hmm. But when...
Try to build a lighthouse or get a reel of 35mm film.
Right. And he wanted to do that from the beginning. Even if they did find an island with a lighthouse, he still wanted to make one as a set.
Did he purposely make it phallic?
Yes. He said...
I was thinking the same
thing. He literally told the set designer, like, I want it to look like... a male penis.
I'm 12.
Oh, God. But and that's why it was so phallic shaped. And then the
well, I mean, well, it's also a lighthouse.
Well, yeah, there.
I don't know how much difference you can do with it.
Yeah, it's
well,
it's very
yeah,
male
it
genitalia.
Is.
As an artiste, I believe my next project will be working on a vagina shaped lighthouse.
Vagina. Can't say that either.
Oh,
no, I'm just kidding. Remind me about the crank one out one. I gotta edit that.
Edit
yeah,
that. Out.
Edit that.
And that one,
or I won't say it, or I won't edit it. I'll ask my boss. But
yeah, so okay.
We're talking
so
about home runs, right?
Yeah, crank it out of the park. But anyways, the siren. That's another.
I love that tone.
The third.
I don't.
No, like the mermaid siren, like that.
Oh,
yeah. But we'll talk about the tone too. Honestly, like you can compare them because she was literally alluring Robert. Like one of the first days, I think it was, wasn't it the first or second night Like Robert Pattinson,
his first vision was of the mermaid, and
he
his
was walking.
Second one was of
and
the
and he
logs.
Was walking towards her. And I love this shot too because as he was walking, it's like it starts. Okay, just he's on the shore now. Well, it's waist level, and
he's
it's like
walking in the ocean. Mm-hmm. He's neck deep,
and then he gets
he's
neck,
swimming.
But when it flips it around, he's only getting so much closer and closer to her too. Like it's he's like not even getting that close to her, and then he's like already underneath the water mm-hmm. with the waves. But yeah, there's a lot of sexual tension there. There's a lot of masturbation scenes involving Robert Pattinson.
Well, and when we were talking earlier about Willem Dafoe being in the lighthouse, and we're like, we don't know what he was doing in there. I think personally that he was
just janking him up there.
No, seriously, because I think
rolling the dice.
Oh my gosh, Skyler, grow up.
He was also like super protective, like it was his lover, because they do.
That's what I'm saying.
Reference like that he had kids and mm-hmm. a wife at some point.
Yeah, there's so much sexual tension throughout the entire movie.
And he was almost like in love with the lighthouse in and of itself, which is also a psychological thing because there are people who have psychological attachments to objects.
And I think he even said too, like, oh, like honestly, we've been here. I think you're worthy of like watching your own light. And he's like, yeah, I think I can work here. Like, can I do it tonight?
He's like, no.
He's like, no, not my lighthouse. Like, find your own. Like, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, you can guard one, but not my love.
Oh,
not
yeah. Literally,
you can
like,
tend the fires, but they won't be mine.
Can you talk about that kerosene scene again? That was crazy.
That was like petroleum jelly, right? That they were like...
No, I think it was
sugar. I thought it was like literal like,
I don't know. They had...
Cane.
They at one point, they were in there like rubbing a stick around in a vat, and it was gelatinous. Kerosene comes in that mm-hmm. Jello type.
They mix the kerosene
honey.
With like
honey.
Like because that's
kerosene
how,
and honey.
That's all they didn't like just drink gas. Yeah, like they you mix it with like glucose something like honey or like molasses, and I think it makes like literal
tarnation.
Like the like the process needed to get lit, but
honey and kerosene, boys. My house 7:30.
It's like Everclear times three.
Jeez.
Even clearer.
Even clearer.
Everclear.
Even clearer.
Oh, my goodness. But, yeah, man, we talked about a lot today, didn't we?
Yeah, that's a good movie.
Yeah, great movie. Great movie. Is there anything else you guys want to bring up about the movie now that we've basically gone through the timeline and, you know, put our two cents in for different places?
If this doesn't win an Oscar... Or at least get nominated for an Oscar.
This podcast right here.
Best
movie of the year is going to Midsummer. I'm sorry.
Ooh, we're gonna see.
Lighthouse
know if,
doesn't stand a chance.
I don't even know if Midsummer is gonna get nominated.
Lighthouse
I really don't.
Does not stand a
I'm
chance.
I'm sorry, but
Whoa,
yes, no, I completely
does not
disagree.
Stand a chance. Oh man,
Lighthouse really, really good. Love it, but I. If you put the two together, mm-hmm. Midsummer wins. For
I don't know,
but
Paul-
if you think about the kinds of movies that the Academy likes. It's definitely The Lighthouse over Midsummer. They love
it. Yeah. I was like, Paul didn't roll a nat 20 at Midsummer, though.
Yeah, that is true.
He did.
Paul rolled a nat 20.
What?
At Lighthouse.
What?
Yeah.
He had a 20-sided dice, and he's like, is this movie going to be good?
And boom. Rolled 20. A 20.
Rolled
a nat 20, naturally.
D&D. Lexi, it sounds like you need to watch our podcast of tabletop gaming and D&D and
where
stuff.
Where can we find that?
Didn't we have a special guest that
we
day?
Had a very special
Jason-
guest.
Jason- Anarchy?
Yeah, Jason Anarchy joined what? Us, and you can see that. You can listen to that podcast on Spotify.
You could potentially see it if you listen to us while you sleep.
Yes, you could dream about our how we look, and then be.
I promise you, it's better than what
send us in right. sketches of what you think we look like.
Yeah,
at Lakeshore Radio.
Yeah, Lakeshore Public Radio.
That would be a fun experiment.
I promise cool. it's going to be better than what I actually look like.
Oh, yeah. You're good looking.
I feel like
man.
They're going to make me not my actual race. Edit that out.
We're not going to play guess the races. Go ahead, Paul.
Does everyone have their like favorite scene from the movie?
Ooh, that's actually a really
good
thing to talk about.
The, what's the third movie called?
Oh, now that we've talked about it, too, we can have that. So real quick, let's go through our favorite scenes, like real quick, and then we'll see our predictions for the movie to come.
Favorite scene is probably when... Oh, there was one really good, like, tracking shot that was super good, but I can't remember when it happened. So I either like the super drawn-out goal scene when he's beating the goal.
Nice.
Or I like the scene where he's being drawn into the ocean, because it's really good.
Yeah, that one's really good.
Really, really good.
I think my favorite scene is when they're going to get to the provisions, and Robert's thinking, like, oh, we're going to get food, and they just dig up a bunch of alcohol.
By the way, they literally lived off alcohol
for real
for the longest.
Yeah, like the entire movie.
The whole end of the film.
The masturbation scene with Robert Pattinson from it. I'm kidding. That was a joke. Favorite scene for me when Pattinson sneaks into the lighthouse and looks up and you see this monster like
the tentacle.
I thought that that was beautifully shot, and there's a lot of dissecting you can do with that.
And speaking of that, Robert Eggers, the great thing about building your own lighthouse and building your own like literal house, you can
make
have
the rooms how you want it.
Yeah, where like, oh, this room would be perfect because, and I'm gonna add a little extra for the camera. It's like you could put the camera anywhere you want when you build it from scratch too, so, which is another reason why he wanted to build it from scratch. And then that's why I wanted like the spiral staircase. Like you could literally have like a camera pulley to have.
And
like,
I think
the
that was one of the shots,
shots
I was talking about when it just went straight up through the spiral. Staircase, and you watch Robert. Oh, that was it. His final ascent to the lighthouse. That was the shot I love the most, when he slowly starts to scale the first couple steps and he's just looking up, like oozing over
honestly,
the light.
Honestly, that is my favorite scene.
I have three that kind of share the same like mantle. It's the one where he's burying William Dafoe and he's giving him that speech. It's the one where he actually gets to the light and looks into the light, and it's the "Why'd you spill your beans?"
That one is also one of my favorites. The spill your beans.
The moment that sound
so
went out.
So silent and so creepy.
The moment the sound went out, I was sold. Because it was like storming, and then it was just.
Oh, also Willem Dafoe.
That's when
cursing
it stopped.
Him.
Yep.
Yeah, when Willem Dafoe. But that was one of my favorites too, because that's when all the background sounds stop.
You realize how much there is.
And then that's when it like really went inside your head. Why'd you spill your beans?
The fog horn was constantly in the background.
Reminds me of Twin Peaks.
I was going to say that's
like,
probably
so
a homage
good.
To Twin Peaks.
It got to the point like at first like you see Robert Pattinson like cringe at it every once in a while. Like every time it went off, he like reacts to it. And then after a certain point, it's just in the background. He doesn't even care about it anymore. It's just there.
I wonder, because there's a part where the siren screams. I was wondering, like, what was diegetic sound and what was non-diegetic sound. So was the siren screaming actually just the sound of a boat in the distance or a foghorn in the distance?
And I think you could take it both ways, because in the folklore, like, that was what they called like the siren, the lure of the sirens, like they call the ships to the rocks, and
right
if they were calling, they're not going to
imitate lighthouses.
They're not going to whisper sweet nothings to the ships. They're going to literally like yell at these ships, and that's what you go to. Like you're not going to the women, like you're going to safety and
land,
and that
food, water, drink, women.
Right.
Should we sign out because we didn't sign in today?
We're going to straight sign out because we forgot. And hopefully by this point, everyone knows who we are.
They don't.
So I want to thank Mike. I want to thank Lexi. I want to thank Paul Polgorzelski. And I want to thank old Skyler, Twitter handle Fat Lowen. Lexi, you got something to...
I have like no social medias.
All right, Mike, you want to...
Oh, I'm Thick Boy with 3 C's, 3 I's, and Singularity Photography. Find me on Instagram and support me, please.
And the music you're probably hearing right now is Olatho, which is Fat Lowen on SoundCloud.
Ooh. SoundCloud.
All right. And I want to thank all the listeners at home who tunes in and tunes in every Saturday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. And thanks for coming to Nerd Out with us. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.